Hey, y'all. I'm going to take a look today at Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 35. This is continuing with Jesus' sermon on discipleship as he is moving toward Jerusalem. Stay dressed and ready for action, and keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left the house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you telling us this parable for us or for all? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces, and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know, and did what deserved a beating, will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required, and from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. So remember, Jesus, again, is teaching on discipleship, and as he moves toward Jerusalem, he's preparing his disciples for the days to come. In the section just prior to this, he has warned against anxiety. He has warned against being preoccupied with securing ourselves in life, with worrying constantly about whether we have enough or whether we're safe, and doing everything we can. Again, it's what in Ecclesiastes, the writer of Ecclesiastes calls herding the wind or shepherding the wind, trying to control all the contingencies of life. Jesus rather says that we should give ourselves first and foremost to what is important to God. And that if we do that, our hearts will be invested in what is important to him, because those are the things that will ultimately matter. In this section, he, as it were, heightens the sense of what he's calling the disciples to. He says that we are to give ourselves in such a way, seeking first the kingdom of God all the time, so that when our master comes, he comes and finds us in that place that we're always ready. He gives this parable about a master who goes away to a wedding feast. Those were multi-day events. It was never clear how long they would be. And the masters that were left in charge of the house were supposed to be doing what he wanted to do. I would almost compare this to a parent leaving a child at home and saying, hey, listen, when I'm gone, don't watch TV, don't fight with one another, and clean up the house. And if the parent goes away and they're just like, well, it's going to be a while, I don't have to worry about it, I can kick back for a while, he says, that's not a good servant. That's a wicked servant. But if they say, well, I should just expect that at any minute the master, my mom or dad should come, so I'm going to give myself diligently to the things that matter. Notice that he uses all through this section the image of a house and servants in a house. And I think this should make us think of the church. It should make us think of what we're doing in the church. Our master's away, he's at a wedding feast, and it is our job to be giving ourselves to the activity of the household, the service of the household, the feeding of the servants, and the not exploiting or taking advantage of the servants. Notice, too, he uses this image of girding up your loins. This is the ancient equivalent of rolling up your sleeves, right? This is be prepared for work, be poised and ready and given to work. And then he says also, be sure to have your lamp trimmed and ready to be lit. This is an image of alertness, right? It's an image of being awake and ready for action. So again, he wants his household working well and efficiently and bustling while he's away, and he wants to come back and find it in that same condition. I think we could also see an Exodus image here, because that image of girded loins and of your lamps trimmed comes from the Passover, when Israel, when they were departing Egypt, were supposed to eat in haste. They were supposed to eat their meal as if they were going to leave soon, and they'd have the staff in their hands and the shoes on their feet and lamps ready to go. So I also think Jesus is connecting this up with the theme of this new Exodus that Jesus is bringing about. There's a new freedom from sin and death and the fear of death that Jesus is wanting to lead his people in, and that household needs to be like that. I think it also connects us with the communion meal. Remember, the Israelites were supposed to eat that lamb in an expectation, in a sense of we've got to be ready for action, ready to depart. And I think that connects it up with our participation in communion or Eucharist, that we eat it with a sense of urgency. We eat it with a sense of expectation that we need to be given to the activity of the house, which is the church, the people of God. So again, earlier, when Jesus spoke of where you have your treasure, do you have it in material possessions, or do you have it in the things that matter to God? The things that matter to God are his household, his people. Again, like Timothy, Paul said he had no one like him who was naturally concerned for the welfare of the Philippians. I think that's an image of what Jesus is looking for in a good and faithful servant, giving himself to the things that matter to him. Notice, too, I think we all get this. The problem with the servants who are punished is that they specifically try to figure out when the master comes so that they can do their own thing in the meantime and then just cram when he gets there. And I think when we see that in a student, we know that that's not somebody who really wants to learn. They just want to sort of jump through a hoop. But if you really want to be a student, you give yourself to study all the time and with regularity because you really care. This, again, is about really caring about what our Lord cares about. This means we give ourselves all the time to his concerns and to his service, and we know that this will shape our affections and make us care more and more about what he cares about. And then notice, too, Peter says, "Lord, who's this for?" Jesus seems to not answer him, but I do think he's answering him. Who then is the wise and faithful servant or manager? I think this is a message to those with positions of leadership in the church. They are to see themselves as servants waiting for the master's return and taking care of his household. And notice he says that those that abuse the household, they will be punished severely. So this is a real dire warning. It's a very serious warning from the Lord about two leaders. And every time we see leaders in the body of Christ abusing their position, it's tragic, and we should think of these passages. But I want to also end with this astounding statement that Jesus makes. "Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline a table, and he will come and serve them." That's a remarkable statement from the Lord, that when he comes and finds his servants giving themselves to his household, taking care of his household as if it were their own, he's going to serve them, and then he's going to put them over all the more. So I think it's a beautiful promise. So we have both dire warning and this beautiful promise. So may we seek first the kingdom of God. May we give ourselves to the things that matter to the Lord Jesus. And may that begin to shape our hearts to care more and more about what he cares for. And may we give ourselves diligently and daily to the household of God and the things that matter to him, so that he can find us busy with his work upon his return. Amen.